It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
I hate him. He's cuckoo for copocuffs.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. What?
When you talk to people, like, on the phone, let's say you're making, like, a dinner reservation... You say,
do I drop the name, you mean?
No, well,
hi, I'm Matthew Soze. May I have a table for two?
Can I have your name, Matthew Soze? Do you ever get Matthew Fosse?
No.
Okay. No, see, that happens to me all the time.
You get
Flagel.
They think you're Fosse?
All the time.
They think you're me?
Yes.
Well, you know, you were a spitting image 20 years ago. where was... Oh, yes, I was in mid-intro. Thank you. Actually, the food truck on Wednesday recognized me by voice.
Oh, my God.
It was awesome. Oh, the show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. You can check that out. And we have a blog, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Yes. Everyone's favorite pourer, Sun King pourer, my engineer and producer, and apparently my radio son, Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
Aren't you over here with your dad? One of the all-time best comments.
I think y'all got to go with Radio Love Child.
He's not my Radio Love Child.
Wow.
There's, wow. Oh, boy. There was that very hazy NPR convention in Portland. And it was Fiona Ritchie and I. No. gosh, no. Oh, wait a minute. If you listen carefully, Mrs. Soce's laughing her head off. Okay. We have two special guests in audience. Well, all of our guests are special. Some more than others. And they both have their own introduction. But we're going to start with one that we've played, I think, from the very beginning.
Lawrence of Arabia. He's an English guy. He came to fight the Turkish.
Okay, Clark, right there. That's what I'm talking about. Lawrence of Arabia doesn't have any lyrics to it. Doesn't have any words.
What do you mean doesn't have lyrics?
It's music. It's music.
Hey, I've seen the movie four times.
And there were no words to it.
What are you
there
doing?
Are no
see
words
that? Right
to
there.
Hey.
Right
you,
there.
Did you hear what I was singing earlier?
Somewhere I know that somebody, I think, wrote lyrics to this song.
The director of on-air branding and promotions, Mike Berry. How are you, sir?
I'm just fine. Thank you.
Yes, you are. And we got the seal of approval on this one. But, ladies and gentlemen, we have an introduction for Haterade endorser, Richard Probst.
Bring it! It's me, dear friends. Alive and kicking. Well, alive anyway.
I'll be kicking you with my jingle bells.
That's it. Kick the footless man.
You know, you walk into this stuff. Oh, you roll.
Yes! Yes! Awesome!
Well, when a fella comes back from the dead, I find that an occasion to stand up, to be counted.
It's not a film sociology if I don't do a foot joke.
Well, I can see where it'd be difficult for a man of your stature to keep in touch with even half the people you know. Well, you know beautiful women, they encourage you one minute and cut the legs out from under you the next.
I'm not half the man I used to be.
Wow. Why is it that the guy in the wheelchair gets a film called The Sitter? We have just redefined public radio.
And bad taste.
Yes!
Oh, man. That's just...
You know what
a dozen different shades of wrong.
Do you know what I did? I found a good use for the film Wild Wild West. That's what I did.
There is one.
Someone had to.
Redeeming factor. So thank you, Ken Branagh and Will Smith. Wow. And of course, Abdul loves the Will Smith exchange, the Will Smith comments that Ken Branagh says. So we'll save the other half of that clip for another show. Wowee, that's some good filmmaking there, Mr. Sosie.
That'd be some good filming there, Mr. Sosie.
That's an Abdul quote. Don't hate us. All right.
At least not for that.
At least not for that. So, welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Well, let's see. There's three films opening, and first
they equal one.
Wow. The first one not screened for the press.
That's always a good sign.
That would be Ghost Rider: Spirit of Vengeance, the latest.
I'll see it anyway.
He's the only one that can walk on both sides, and apparently he walks again.
What?
That was the whole thing from the.
I tried to forget Ghost Rider as soon as I saw it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still in counseling.
You're in Ghost Rider counseling? Where do they have the meetings?
Crown Hill.
Hi, I'm Matthew. And I'm Matt, and I saw Ghost Rider. Hi, Matt.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to let bad art flow over you.
That, and this did. even with the presence of the visually stunning Eva Mendes couldn't save this picture. That was the first picture. That was just... It was bad. But anyway, Nicolas Cage still has debt to pay off, so he made another Ghost Rider movie in 3D. So you can see this. Yeah. Also, we have The Secret World of Arrietty, which I know the kids' film correspondent is very excited about seeing.
Is that the one with the little people that live under the floor?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
No, those are the ones. Those are the images in your head, Bill Walton.
I like me some short people.
Thank you, Randy Newman. However,
they have no reason, though.
Wow. I want to note that you said that.
Yeah, I said it.
You did. I may have created the audio montage, but you did that.
Bring it on.
No, we won't review that movie.
What are you going to do? Take out my knees?
Be careful. He might.
Man. Whew.
When do I get my feet back?
When pigs fly, and it'll be pork in the trees by morning. Thank you, Katharine Hepburn. Okay, but there is, and one of the films I thought I was going to review got delayed, so it won't come here until March because apparently we can't handle Iranian dramas right away. I don't know. No,
which is weird because it won my website's best foreign language film.
That's cool, and of course we can't talk about it because it hasn't opened yet. But I agree with you on that.
Yes,
one.
Okay.
It is up for best foreign film as well as best screenplay, and rightly so on both. So,
absolutely.
But we can't talk about
that. We're not going to tell you what it is.
I was going to say, does this film have a title?
Yes, but we can't talk about it because the embargo.
It is not Ghost Rider, in case you're wondering.
It's definitely not Ghost Rider. It's definitely It's not Bring It On or any of its directed DVD sequels. But no, that should open in March. And of course, actually, we'll talk about it a little bit next week with the big Oscar preview extravaganza coming a week from Friday. However, Mr. Probst, you did see the latest film from McGee.
Oh,
This Means War. This is a man who gave us We Are Marshall, but he also gave us Charlie Angels, and somebody in his crew gave him Christian Bale's greatest rant.
Oh.
So, Terminator Salvation. And this is Chris Pine, and this is the other dude from Inception.
Tom Hardy.
Yes. And the original Miss Perky Pants herself, Academy Award winner, Reese Witherspoon.
Academy Award winning Miss Perky Pants.
She is.
Is that going to be on her tombstone?
Yeah, right. I should hope so. Along with pepperoni, or if Sammy Terry says, your blood. And by the way, Sammy Terry, it was fun seeing Sammy Terry Tuesday night with the original Little Shop of Horrors.
That was cool.
So we had him on the show last week.
Really? Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, he always comes in. And once again, Fair Sweet Bianca, we hope the sting has gone away. Somebody got torn into by Mr. Terry about Twilight.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Why? Yeah, I know. You bring it up to Sammy Terry, what else are you going to get?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, back to McGee, really.
Okay.
Another thing that's never, ever been said on public radio. Do you have the trailer ready there, Kobe?
I do.
All right, let's hear it.
Not best friend.
I trust you. I know that you would take a bullet for me. I would for you as well.
What were you doing on the computer?
Photographed my girl.
I was doing the same thing.
You want to see her?
Yeah, on three.
One,
two,
three.
That's Lauren Scott.
I feel weird about dating two guys at once.
You think Gloria Steinem got arrested and sat in a jail cell so you could act like a little bitch?
I think I'm going to hell.
Get out there. You get flexible.
You know what? You date her. Besides the fact, if I got in the picture, wouldn't even be fair.
I'm sorry. What does that mean? I think we should lay down some ground rules.
I think we should.
I don't think we should tell her that we know each other.
Let's stay out of each other's way.
Just let her decide.
May the best man win. This is a live operation. It's a full rap and tap, boys. I want you to follow Agent Hansen. Don't let your country down, boys.
This has been a perfect night.
Make it rain.
I'll be right back. Really? You ever killed anybody with your bare hands?
Not this way.
Tuck, this is my friend. Okay, you can do this. They'll probably just shake hands. I think I'm gonna pass out.
I'm available to have sex with both of those guys just to test out stuff and see who comes back a winner.
Why is she listening to that old man? I have no idea.
I think my triggering mechanism was stuck in the... Oh, my God!
Okay. Well, it's an action film. We love trailers of action films that have no dialogue in it. That has some.
Yeah.
That was more than I anticipated.
And Richard described it as an action romantic comedy.
And of course, I asked, on which end
is it romantic?
Really, is it? I mean, is it the bond between these two guys fighting for Reese Witherspoon, or is it the?
It really is. I mean, because they are best friends before they meet her
and spies,
and they're CIA, you know,
right
dudes, and they're supposedly the best at what they do.
Of course, they are.
But what they do isn't very nice. Yes.
Do we ever see? Do we ever see films about middle of the road spies? You know what? I want a cop. I want a cop who's not on the edge. I want a cop, cop.
Yep.
Slacker cop. I'm sorry, go on.
Wouldn't that be like Will Ferrell?
Oh, yeah, they did do that. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
I don't know.
Okay, so they fight for her affections.
She like answers an ad and ends up.
Somebody who looks like Reese Witherspoon puts out a singles ad.
Well, let's face it, she can't choose her romantic comedies well, so she kind of.
Wow.
So she probably sucks at choosing men.
Okay, go, Richard,
wow.
Go.
So anyway, no, I mean, this is the kind of role she exactly does not do well. You know, the cute little perky blonde, little submissive woman, it's not what she's meant to play. She's a strong actress, she's a talented actress, and she's just not convincing in this kind of a role.
Now, does she have to do action stuff? Is she doing stuff? Is it like Night and Day or
no.
Somebody others? Where...
I mean, she does a little bit, but it's really the two of the guys, Thomas Hardy
competing
and
over.
Ryan. They are the reason to see this film. If you like them, if you like some of the action, you know, that's why you see this film.
Okay,
the romantic
now,
piece stinks.
Action-wise, Red silly, Expendables silly, Machete silly, Hobo with a Shotgun silly.
Definitely not.
Not Hobo with a Shotgun.
Okay.
Spy versus Spy, I mean, silly.
You know, I mean, you're talking PG-13, decent special effects, better special effects than us, from what I'm hearing anyway, Ghost Rider.
Well, we don't know because that wasn't screened
for us. We don't
know,
but yeah, they didn't screen it for us. But
she doesn't become a pawn, I hope, in some elaborate. Oh, you smiled and rolled your eyes. That means yes, yes.
We're not going to ruin it for the 13 people who will be in the theater this weekend.
I got a feeling a lot of people are going to go see this, and just as many ridiculous people will go see Ghost Rider.
I know.
Boy.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Like you will.
I'm so there in the morning. I mean,
for Ghost Rider,
yeah.
Wow.
Well, I love me some cheesy Nicolas Cage.
Well, there's good cheese and bad cheese. And
well, when he overacts, it's kind of fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
It is kind
well,
of fun.
Well, no, if it's like Drive Angry or Bad Lieutenant, absolutely. But
I've seen some interviews where he says he tried intentionally to really go dark on this one. And when
Nicolas Cage say, "I'm really gonna go dark,"
I mean, come
or
on.
Like Wicker Man bad. Okay, all right. Well, we'll see. We'll see. You know, we might have to bring you back next week.
Yeah, so. And I'll probably take Miss Randall to see the Spy versus Spy thing, and this means war because there seems to be enough.
It's
of
not
the,
a cracked comic. Yeah, or a mad comic.
Well, but that's how they're kind of selling it.
Right.
I mean, two spies, going for the same girl. They have all this high-tech stuff. Let the hijinks begin.
Yeah, and then they become each other's enemies. And, they go after each other with all their, gifts and their skills. And, it's not good. It's not horrible.
Anytime you can blend, rom-com with stuff getting blowed up, I mean.
Blowed up.
Blowed up. Another NPR word.
I love that.
Blowed up.
Stuff getting blowed up.
So it sounds like McGee directing The Room.
How did he become McGee?
Well, I didn't name him that.
I mean, who the hell are you talking about?
It's the guy who directed Charlie's Angels, Terminator Salad. He's got an actual name, but he goes by McGee. And of course, one name directors make me want to slap the living hell out of him.
It's like if you have to resort to a novelty to sell your film, something's wrong.
Well, there's Charlie's Angels, Full Throttle, Terminator Salvation. We Are Marshall actually liked.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I hated it, too.
You hated that?
Yeah.
Before the movie started?
No, not before the movie.
My favorite story.
I wanted the plane to crash.
It did.
I know.
You were rooting for the plane? You're a bad man.
He hates everything.
When people joke, and some of them actually are serious, that film the stereotype, of course, is film critics hate everything. Mm-hmm. Richard's really darn close. Your last four-star.
That's why I'm a Razzie voter.
You are a Razzie voter.
I'm a Razzie voter.
And your last four-star review was Garden State.
Yes.
Right. And and there was I did this. We were at a press screening. I wish I could remember what it was, but we were at a press screening for something. We got there fairly early because it was supposed to be a big film, and we were there for about 10 minutes, which meant we had another 20 before the screening started. And I looked over at Richard. And went, "Do you hate the movie yet?" And he went, "Intensely."
Well, I have standards.
You do. Now, do we have any audio that might even come close to what he was just saying?
He said it's not good, it's not bad.
It's not horrible.
I don't have really a middle of the road.
I think we just got one now that he said that. Right. We might have to keep that.
Yeah.
But you might be in the year-end show again.
Oh, my.
Both of you.
Bring it.
Because that's really the goal, is to be in the year-end show.
That's the goal.
Yeah. It's what we all play for, man.
It also
play to win.
I don't need a Pulitzer Prize.
You just want to be in the year in review
exactly.
Show. Wow, we have to work on the awards ceremony for that. that's like the quote of the year thing on
that
the other show in Chicago.
Toes tingle.
Oh jeez.
Come on, you were waiting for the first foot.
Yeah,
joke.
I was.
Yeah,
and okay. You did. Well, I thought that intro was the first foot joke. Really, I thought I'd beat you to it.
Wow.
But it got the Richard Probst seal of approval.
That's better than any award I could ever have.
We'll play it at your... As I get stoned to death. With stones, by the way. I know you're thinking it. All right. We're going to restore order, ladies and gentlemen. Also, tonight, if you don't have plans, and it's okay if you don't. Sometimes it happens. But tonight at the IMA, they are showing the Stanley Donen, speaking of spy romance, Charade.
Oh, cool.
Ooh.
Audrey Hepburn and Cary Grant and Walter Matthau, James Coburn, George Kennedy. And this was one of the last. Cary Grant did not want to do films where he was chasing after women half his age, even though he wound up bagging Diane Cannon. Nothing wrong with that. Wow. But he wanted a film where she was chasing after him, and thus we have Charade, which is it's a fun, delightful little spy comedy running through Paris. Mm-hmm. And then if you really must, and it's okay, but the remake, The Trouble with Charlie, with Tandy Newton and Mark Wahlberg, directed by Jonathan Demme. And Tim Robbins was in that as well. So anyway, that's at the IMA tonight.
Cool.
And now we're going to stretch a little bit. There's something going on tomorrow night at the Dan Theater in Danville.
Yes, there is.
Tell us about it, Mr. Perry.
Well, our favorites, Carrie Newcomer and Scott Russell Sanders and Philip Gulley, and Krista DeTore are going to be at the Royal Theater in Danville, Indiana.
Yes, Danville, Indiana. Not Illinois. That's an hour away.
Indiana.
Right.
Doing a stage show, lots of songs, lots of storytelling, and it ought to be a good time.
It should be a good time. And
that sounds great.
Carrie was on your album that you had worked on, so yeah, still available? Is it still available?
Yes, it is.
Where can I get it?
You can get it at, I don't know, cdbaby.com. That's it. Thank you.
I was thinking Richard Probst's angryman.com.
Yes! Footless Hater Aid.
And
that's his production company right there, ladies and gentlemen. And
that's going to be my next CD.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, we need to catch up a little bit. Where are our answers? We might take a break. We might not. I don't know. But Mr. Perry, what did you watch recently? You did something. I was kind of surprised that you did.
I went and saw Star Wars yesterday.
In 3D.
In 3D.
And did it improve?
Just to see the 3D.
And?
Oh, it's a very pretty picture to look at, but it still sucks.
Wait, what? The actual movie sucks, or the 3D?
The plot sucks. The acting sucks.
Jar Jar Binks.
The effects are...
Jake Lloyd.
Okay. Now... But, and maybe you guys maybe notice this, too. I noticed that the cleaner the print looks, and this was in digital and 3D and all that, the more artificial the CGI stuff looks.
Ooh.
I mean,
valid point.
I mean, I could tell in this pristine, clean print that, like, the robot clones that, you know, make up the Federation Army don't quite hit the floor in the same places that the humans walking next to them do.
That's not good.
And they had a skyline shot where the buildings still looked like they were drawn to me, as opposed to, you know.
As opposed to being drawn to them.
Right. So, you know, and I noticed some of that stuff in some of the Blu-ray copies of action films that I see that you can, it does bring out the flaws that you wouldn't notice if it were, you know, like
there
actual
are some
film.
Films I do not like Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's
such as?
Too much. Oh, I can't think of a specific example right now.
Give us 10 examples right now, genius.
Okay, now, going back to Star Wars and this one and the plot sucking, this Phantom Menace or Attack of the...
Phantom Menace.
It's apparently in your world known as Episode 1.
Yes.
And younger. Sorry.
Yes, son.
That being said, what is worse, Phantom Menace or Attack of the Clones?
Oh, Phantom Menace.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's one aspect of Clones I actually liked, which maybe a lot of people didn't, and it was when it turns into a Raymond Chandler novel where they're going from place to place to investigate and get questions. Like, it looked like Philip Marlowe, only it was Ewan McGregor. Right. So there was that.
My biggest gripe about Phantom Menace, aside from what I just said, is... not enough humans in it.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the characters are CGI characters. And
Jake Lloyd.
And Jake Lloyd.
Who's worse than CGI?
Oh, God.
Notice after
Madison.
Sorry
if you're listening, Jake.
No, notice after Madison, we really haven't seen any much from him.
That's, you know.
Phantom Menace is probably the worst by far of all the Star Wars movies. That said, I went to check out what I could expect when the good ones come out in 3D, as far as film quality. It was okay. It wasn't as good as if the movie was shot with 3D in mind, but it was better than some previous retrofitted 3D movies that I have seen.
Like the one Cameron's working on.
Do we know any timeline for the rest of the saga?
I thought I read one a year or something like that.
Really? I wouldn't be surprised if they happened in 1 year.
Oh.
I would not be surprised at all. Unless the kids film correspondent wants to go, and I have to put my foot down. She has to watch the original first three first.
You mean 4, 5, and 6? Wow.
Shut up. No. I mean Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi, jerk face.
I mean, the first minute or two of the film was great because it kind of took
you
me back
that?
To the day because you got the Star Wars logo coming out and
John Williams.
The 3D effects with the, you know,
the
initial
scrolling.
Crawl.
Yeah.
The scroll is very cool in 3D. And then the movie starts, and it's
wow,
it's all downhill.
It's all exactly. Down,
George Lucas. Okay,
so
now was it full? Was it a full audience?
Oh no, it was me and three other guys.
Oh my god!
So yeah, I really have no desire to see these again.
That's
there's no way, no.
Well,
the big draw for me to see what they did with the 3D.
Okay,
I mean I
that's
wasn't
why
there.
We brought
to,
you.
Yeah, and. So, yeah, I'll go see 4, 5, and 6 with the 3D if it looks.
I might go see it instead of having to go see Red Tails again.
Yeah, because you know what? He's going to help bring back black cinema, that George Lucas.
He's
boy.
Going to, I'm telling
boy,
you.
Boy, I tell you.
It was
you.
So authentic.
Yeah. Tyler who? No. now, I will pay. Yeah, I'll pay admission just so I could see, you know, the Leia moment in Jedi in 3D.
Well, I will add that I did have some bucks stored up on my Stubbs card, so it didn't really cost me anything to watch the movie yesterday.
So you're sticking it to the man, huh? Way to go.
I mean, I spent more on the soda. But
it has its own current. And it has its own currents. All right. Wow. Yeah. And Richard, we catch up. What have you seen? Anything new or newish?
You know, this is such a great time of year for cinema.
Well, no, because we're still kind of clinging on to the Oscar hopefuls. For instance, I know.
Yeah, but see, they screen them for us so early anymore.
Yes, but then we get a chance to revisit them and talk about, like, the live action short films are going on. I know right now
those were awesome.
Yeah, those
if
are going on right
seen
now.
Those,
at Keystone.
Go see them.
Go see them. It's a great. Those are great palate cleansers for
they
us.
Are.
Because we went through all the, you know, I mean, we had quite a number of screenings near the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And then there's this kind of January. And the series, like the animated shorts and live action shorts, really help.
And a couple of the animated ones in particular are really amazing this year.
Yeah. So go take a chance on those. And it's not often we get to see a film that we know very little, if nothing, about.
Exactly. And you are supporting up-and-coming filmmakers.
Exactly.
Which is important.
So do that. That being said, I'm still angry about Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close.
Why?
Because George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, and Ron Howard
make me
combined
cry.
couldn't come up with manipulation that extreme. And you didn't like it either.
I hated it. Well, I'm so amazed you got nominated for an Oscar.
I am amazed at that as well. Max von Sydow, no, he's fine. You know, he's really good. He's probably the best thing about it.
Yeah.
He forgot to write down in his little notebook, "Shut up, kid." I'm sorry this kid lost his dad at 9/11.
I'm not.
But
I think the dad jumped so he wouldn't have to go back to the kid.
Wow.
That's cold, man.
But that being said,
I mean, you're talking about a Jeopardy champ there. It can't be that annoying.
For those who don't know, this is the kid whose dad, played by Tom Hanks, dies at 9/11, and then his dad leaves him he finds a clue because his dad raised his kid to follow fine clues like Dora the Explorer with ADD, and he's running around the United Colors of Benetton, also known as New York City, and he's got he's got phobias and things, and he's supposed to be this kind of quirky.
And I get
the feeling
he's not acting. I think this is really him.
It probably is him, but he's supposed to be the quirky, precocious cinema kid. But he's annoying as hell, and you know, running around with his tambourine and his fears, and no, seriously, the kid runs around with a tambourine because the sound makes him. He's got a learning thing or an emotional thing. He's got a thing.
I do now after having seen the film.
And there were other just dumb choices that happened in this. Like, I don't think I'm – these aren't spoilers because they're on the end. But you know
and
what?
You're not going to be dumb enough to go see it
forget
anyway.
The kid. Oh, okay. But when the kid hides the voicemail of his father's last calls from his mom, played by Sandra Bullock, and Sandra Bullock lets her son run around New York City. And by the way, and it looks like he has different encounters with different – New Yorkers of mm-hmm. various colors, because we are United Rainbow of Benetton. And it looks like they cast actual New Yorkers, real-life people, except for Viola Davis and Jeffrey Rush. Jeffrey Wright. Do you think they're going to be a plot point? Because they're
I'd rather have Jeffrey Rush.
I would rather. Well, that would be kind of cool. That would be cool. But and they were fine. But
they were.
But the fact is, unknown person. Oh, an Academy Award nominee and another acclaimed stage and screen actor. Well, they must be a plot point. Just bug
I think
the
you're just
out of
cynical,
it.
Matthew.
I'm deeply cynical, and that film added to it. And of course, my buddy Jeff Marker, who reminded me, this is from director Stephen Daldry, who gave us The Reader, the Kate Winslet Best Actress Award that should have been for the other picture. But that was a film, of course. All she had to do was either say she was a Nazi war criminal or say she was illiterate.
Take your pick.
Exactly. No, she's a Nazi war criminal. Great choices there.
Wow.
And I know for some people it's a truly moving. I don't think it was a truly moving picture, but I know there were people that thought it was excellent and you know really happy that it's in the top nine.
Yeah, and
for
people
best
that
picture.
Read the book and got a
and it's
the
from
book
the author of Everything
ago.
Is Illuminated and yeah, I never read it and I'm sure some people whatever, but just.
Are you trying to say you
me.
Didn't like the film?
Not at all. Still okay. Not the worst film of the year.
No.
Which apparently, as The Onion reported, Adam Sandler's biggest failure comes out on DVD on March 6th.
You'll have to be more specific than that.
Or something like that. You have to go check The Onion. But no, I think
it's
Sucker...
It's so bad, even I bashed it, and I'm an Adam Sandler fan.
Wow, yeah. You're the one.
Yeah, I
you're
am.
The one. No, Sucker Punch is still my worst film of last year. Oh, that was brutal.
Not Bucky Larson?
Ooh. You know who kept that from becoming the worst film of the year?
Who?
Actually, Don Johnson, who made me laugh, and Christina Ricci as Manic Pixie Dream Girl. They were two decent performances that had no business being in that film whatsoever, and that angered me even more because then this thing could not be 100% worthless. That angered me. Darn
I'm sorry.
You! I'm not as sorry as I am.
Hey.
But yeah, I actually rented Bucky Larson and watched
it. I recommended Bucky Larson.
Are you serious?
I was in the theater alone having paid to see Bucky Larson.
And you enjoyed that?
Well, I mean, it's not like it's an Oscar winner. It's
far from it.
Better than Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, but... You're tempted, aren't you? Okay.
All right, let's take a short break. We'll talk about what's on DVD and Blu-ray. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point at WFYI.org.
Have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference.
You love that, don't you?
Wow.
Yeah. Never have enough Wesley Willis on this show. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, hanging out here with Mike Perry at WFYI, Richard Probst, a man who's actually making me pontificate a compare contrast between Bucky Larson and Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close, which I never ever thought I'd ponder, and I don't think I want to. So
Bucky wins.
Gosh, I don't want him to pick up the trophy.
I'm sure he'll get a Razzie.
Oh, it's up. Yeah, you're sure Razzie now. Is there a confidentiality? Are there Razzie sharpshooters outside?
Yeah, well, most of them are on the West Coast, but
now they pushed it back, right? This year,
April 1st.
Oh, no fooling.
Yeah, but
So, yeah, are you done with your voting, or have you sent your ballot in?
I have.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, you know. And I, you know, it's not uncommon for me to disagree with the Razzies, because I think sometimes they do...
They have an axe to grind?
Yeah, they have an axe to grind, or they go with what'll get a little publicity.
Sure.
You know, and...
Like somebody appearing in three films.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. So, you know, but... And I really genuinely vote for the films that I hated, the performances that I hated.
So you voted for Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
That was in there.
Was there a write-in?
Can write in, at least for the nominations. And then, you know, once you do the nominations, then they pare that down to the finalists where you can't write in.
I see.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a great process.
I bet.
Yeah.
Do you ever revisit crummy films to make sure your hatred is valid?
I do. On the Razzie website, they kind of run the potentials, and if I haven't seen one, I'll go out and intentionally find it and see it.
Of course. You're a voter.
I'm a voter.
You got to do that.
I do the same thing with the Oscars.
See? So. But you're not an Oscar voter.
I'm not an Oscar voter.
But we'll be talking about it now.
Which might be why the winners always suck. That's why Extremely Loud is a nominee this year.
That's just, man.
If I were voting, it wouldn't be there.
Well, neither would. Yeah, of course. I wouldn't either.
Well, if they just limit it to five nominees.
And be a grown-up. What would your five be?
Hugo.
Artist, The Descendants. They would probably put in Hugo. They probably would put in Midnight in Paris.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd put in The Descendants. I mean, it's a good movie, but I don't know if it's a best picture.
I don't think it is. But
and then what would the fifth be?
I was the hater with The Descendants.
You were the hater with The Descendants.
We know what I like. I like 4M.
Yeah, but that didn't make it.
I know.
And that comes out.
I'm still bitter about that.
And that comes out on DVD next week.
Does it?
Yes.
I can't wait.
Well, you know, it's a good thing you brought that up. We have a segue. Speaking of films that got nothing and should have, there's a few of them. There was Shame, which we've talked about. There's Win-Win.
Yes.
There's the 4M. And the film that came out on DVD and Blu-ray this week, the drama, Take Shelter.
Absolutely.
With Michael
Ripped
Shelton
off.
As an Ohio man who... sees the end of the world as he knows it, and he's not fine, and he's going to build a bomb shelter and take all of his money and all of his futures and put it into a shelter because the end of the world is happening.
I hate it when that happens.
I just want to build a bomb shelter so I could get locked in it with Jessica Chastain, who plays his wife in the film.
That would be lovely.
So
she in like every movie of the past?
She was in five films this year. Five or six.
And probably deserved an award in at least four of them.
And got nominated for The Help, which was probably the least of those.
I know, exactly.
But it's all right. What I really like, and Michael Shannon, not Shelton. Hi, Michael. Michael Shannon is a fascinating guy. And after seeing him in Bug and Revolutionary Road, it's one of those I had to go back and find out, he was in this, he was in that. Of course, he's in Boardwalk Empire. And... what's fascinating about this film is, as you're watching it, you're in a sick way. I'm kind of hoping the guy is right, that he's doing all this for the good of his family and even though he's just emotionally, you know what, he's Kobe, emotionally the cheese is coming off his cracker, it's going crazy, and there's a few Walken-esque moments of despair and anger. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just a really solid performance by him.
He really should have been nominated.
I agree.
For Best Actor.
You take out Clooney?
Absolutely.
Okay, so there's your replacement. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I'm hoping more people go and see this. It's a very powerful film, and I think it's a good double feature with 4M.
Oh, yeah.
Part of it is are they crazy or are they Memorex? How much is this in their head or how much is it is real? So, I think that and, of course, Project Nim and Rise of the Planet of the Apes, other great double feature this year. So
and Project Nim came out on DVD last week.
It did. It did. So. If you weren't angry enough about animal testing, go watch that. And if you weren't angry enough about guys with 70s comb-overs who get the grad students, watch that film.
It's a great film.
It is. Also out, The Rum Diary, the latest Johnny Depp collaboration.
Not a great film.
Not a great film. No good film.
It's a good film.
I enjoyed it. But he plays, he sort of plays Hunter Thompson because it's based on Hunter Thompson's adventures in Puerto Rico in 1960. Johnny Depp plays a writer for the San Juan newspaper and gets to witness some shady dealings with Aaron Eckhart and the visually stunning Amber Heard, I believe. I'm sorry, Mike. I'm going to take that correspondent job.
No problem. After,
between that and Drive Angry, she's just stupid pretty. Mm-hmm. But
I bet
also,
she was in Sucker Punch too, wasn't she?
Gosh, I don't want to remember that.
Or Sucker Punch also. I don't want people to think that there's a sequel.
Yeah, good,
those
good word
probably
choice.
Will be okay.
Don't give Zack Snyder any ideas. But it's now because it's Depp and because it's based on a Hunter Thompson novel. Or a collection of essays. Don't expect this to be a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. It's far from it. There's a couple moments of hallucinogenic silliness, we shall say. But this is the early stages of Thompson. Those who don't know Hunter Thompson's work, this film is probably going to bug people because it's very episodic, very atmospheric. It looks great because it's Puerto Rico. And the ending, well, it's a chapter in this man's life. There's a reason why you have to read some place cards at the end of the film as to what happens. There is no big climax conclusion. But it's Depp.
Yeah, I hate it when that happens.
Do you?
Yeah.
I understand. Sorry. Depp's really good in it.
He is.
And it's fun to watch if you know Fear and Loathing or if you know Thompson, just little moments that are going to pop out. The cynicism, the haterade of Hunter Thompson starts to pop up.
This really
a
is the
bit.
Kind of film you probably skipped in the theater because it looked, you just didn't know how to define it.
Correct.
You need to go out and get the DVD and actually rent it and give it a chance.
Agreed. Now, another film that's out on DVD this week, also starring Jessica Chastain, The Debt.
The Debt.
Oh, yes.
That's right. Kind of an underappreciated political thriller with Jessica Chastain, who grows up to become Helen Mirren, Sam Worthington, who grows up to be somebody else. And
Kieran Hines.
Is it Kieran Hines?
I
thought he was
so.
The other guy that grew up to be Kieran Hines. Anyway, and Tom
remember.
Wilkinson. Tom Wilkinson is the older version of one of the other guys.
Yeah.
But it's some Israeli soldiers of fortune that capture a Nazi war criminal, and well, things come back to haunt them a little bit. And it's directed by John Madden, who gave us not the football dope, the guy who gave us Shakespeare in Love and Kill Shot and Proof. And it's kind of it reminded me a little bit of Munich about how revenge is not all it's cracked up to be. I don't think it's as good as Munich.
No.
And I can't believe I'm saying actually a decent performance by Sam Worthington. He has something to do.
Which is proof that miracles happen.
Miracles do happen, like the 69 Mets. But it's a pretty good potboiler thriller. Also, another one I think people just thought it was too dark and
well, let's face it. The name is boring.
Oh, I'm going to go see The Debt.
Is that how people sound at the
That's
box
how they
office?
Sounded. Yeah. No.
Wow.
It sounds boring.
Well, what would you call it then?
Paybacks.
The big payback. No, I don't know.
Killing Nazis?
Wasn't that Inglourious Basterds? Killing Nazis.
I don't know. Just go see it.
Yeah, it's really rent.
Buy it.
Buy it. Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
You got it. Okay. Now. We're just collecting audio. Also, is the film that you got to see, Paranormal Activity 3. You saw that.
I was one.
You were it.
Yeah.
It actually it it's a cheaply made film.
Yeah.
But low budget.
There will be a 4. We know that.
Of course.
These will go on forever.
I think everybody's dead now, but
more
there
than
will
Saw?
Be a 4.
What, longer than Saw?
Was it longer than Saw?
No, will there be more sequels than
Saw?
Oh, yeah. As long as they keep making money at it. I mean, and each one's... Each movie's the prequel, the one.
So how far back are we?
So
I think
going
we're
going
to go back to
time,
the dinosaurs eventually.
Yes.
Cave drawings of ghosts.
I think so. If you saw the other two, you'll, you know, horror fans will.
Somebody move my rock. Who moved my rock?
Oh no. Wow.
Okay, so they're saying go rent that.
Horror fans should go rent that.
Okay.
Nobody else will like it. If you didn't like the first two.
And horror is not really a decent explanation. It's kind of more suspense. I'd say suspense.
Yeah.
It's not freaky.
It is freaky.
Yeah, that's true. It's not. There's nothing horror about it. You're right.
I mean, it gets a little bloody at the end, but, you know, it's.
But is it freaky?
Oh, no.
Freaky.
See, they're saying it's not freaky, Kobe. You can go see it.
No.
Wow. All right. We want the Kobe report. Okay.
I'm sorry, that show's on hiatus right now. So,
okay.
Speaking of now, it's funny, you what? Brought it up and I had written it down. Also out on DVD and Blu-ray, in case you really need to.
Speaking of horror,
The Human Centipede 2.
Two!
Yeah, what else is out?
I love any film where, you know, amputations and body parts are lost.
Especially mouth the butt.
Bring it on!
You don't go mouth the butt.
You do. Oh, okay.
I want to be a centipede when I grow up.
A video game from the 80s. All right, there's some other titles. There's some older titles. Well, actually, there was one title I thought of Hobo with a Shotgun. They're apparently now just people trying to make grindhouse films. And when I saw this title, I don't recommend you doing this title search at work, but apparently there's a film called Nude Nuns with Big Guns.
Love it. I'm there.
So there.
Gee, we might have to go find that. So
wow.
Check that out on your Netflix queue.
That should be a film sociology field trip.
Where?
I'm thinking.
To Richmond?
Is that where it's showing?
No, you have to go rent it. Hey, Kobe, I think we should watch it at your house with Fair Sweet Bianca.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nude Nuns with Big Guns?
Yeah, I think she'll like that.
I think
it's
the
stuff.
That movie is the
she
stuff.
She won't think it's right up there with Meet Me in St. Louis or Twilight.
I
you could be sitcom boyfriend. Honey, yeah, I have the guys over, and what are you guys going to watch? A movie? What's it called?
I love movies that have titles that are just daring you to see it.
And that, well, Nude Nuns with Big Guns will do that.
Just like snakes on a plane.
Hobo with a shotgun.
Wow. It's got to be more romantic than This Means War.
Or extremely loud and incredibly close. All right. Also out on DVD and Blu-ray, All Quiet on the Western Front.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting.
The Perfect Weapon, the Jeff Speakman action film from the early 90s. Remember how he came and went at the same
Jeff
time?
Jeff Speakman.
Yeah, the Jeff Speakman, not a Jeff Speakman. Pal Joey, Frank Sinatra musical. Mm-hmm. A branch of PBS, premiered this past week, The Interrupters, the Steve James documentary, of course, from the director of Weird Dreams and Stevie, of former gang members who are now, well, they're the Interrupters. They try to observe the peace around town, around your local neighborhood. And then there's not one, not two, but three Jerry Lewis titles that are out for you collectors out there.
Oh. And you French.
Yes, that's right.
I said it.
Sadly, none of them are The Day the Clown Cried. I think we're going to have to wait till he dies before we get to see that film.
I won't be waiting long.
Well, we'll see. But these three, see if you remember these, if you've seen them, or if you even remember them.
What?
The Geisha Boy.
Yes. I love that.
Do you really?
That's a good
one. Okay, all right.
Suzanne Pleshette's in that, right?
Ooh.
I believe she is.
I think she is.
Kobe. 1960s Suzanne Pleshette. And 1970s Suzanne Fleischette, for that matter. My dad, I remember watching the Bob Newhart show with him. She was gorgeous. And not getting her eyes plucked out like in The Birds.
Yeah.
Actually, Roger McGuinn poked her eyes out. That's what happened there. Also, Rockabye Baby.
Yep, saw it.
I don't remember that one.
There you go. Mid-60s, I believe. These are all post Nutty Professor, pre Which Way to the Front. When the films got really bad. And then I forgot about this one. He did Boeing with Tony Curtis.
I do remember.
Because I thought it was interesting that he actually teamed up with somebody else of equal. I didn't think he, after splitting up with Dean, would never share billing with somebody. And he did with Tony Curtis.
Wow.
So those are out on a DVD and Blu-ray as well. Well, we need to raise a glass for our actor, metaphorically, David Kelly, not Michelle Pfeiffer's husband. That's David E. Then I would get a keg. But no, this is the guy. Yeah, I'm kind of jealous, bitter, a little, a tad. Yeah, I have my haterade. But David Kelly, of course, he got known for Waking the Divine. He was the naked guy. The naked guy on the scooter. Him.
Watched that again last night.
For research.
Really? Yeah.
Wow.
Just prepping for this show.
See?
Someone's got to do their homework.
Well,
and it's certainly not me.
No, Richard, you did. You had a bile sandwich before coming into work.
You!
Okay, I think I'm over the White Castles now.
but and of course, Waking the Divine is one of the... I'm kind of a sucker for these films. The quaint little UK small town. Everybody's interesting and eclectic and eccentric. And it started with Local Hero back in which Ed Johnson still says best film ever made. But there was this, and The Englishman that went up a hill and came down with Tara Fitzgerald, and the Roddy Doyle novels that were like The Snapper and The Vanagrant. Mm-hmm. Those were Dublin, but those kind of quaint little coastal shows.
Love them. Love
Calendar
them.
Girls. I mean, they're just fun, and he was quite good in that. And of course, in our house. He was in Tim Burton's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, playing Grandpa Joe.
And for you public television fans, he was in Ballykiss Angel, which
we carried for a while. And if you remember, I think the very second episode, he was Mr. O'Reilly in Fawlty Towers.
Ooh.
Remember? The guy who that Sybil hated. And always wanted. He was in Stardust. Neil Gaiman, who was a guest on this show, he was part of that.
He guarded the Wall of Wall.
That's right. Wow. This was a better remake of The Longest Yard than The Longest Yard. But there was the English football film Mean Machine with Vinnie Jones. Remember that?
Oh, yeah,
Vinnie Jones. David Hemmings played the warden, and he played caretaker. And so that was pretty cool. Into the West, he was a grandfather in that. God, he was in Pirates. The Roman Polanski
would explain why nobody's heard of him.
Okay. That's not, well, they needed a token English actor. That was the one with Walter Matthau. Jigsaw Man, the Michael Caine thing from 84. Yeah, a lot of British television, obviously. A lot of Irish television.
Wow.
There we go. Fawlty Towers. Philadelphia, Here I Come. Never mind the quality, Field of Width. That's a title from 1973. Could also be with Nude Nuns with Big Guns. And he was the vicar in the original 1969 The Italian Job. Among others. So, David Kelly, thank you for your work. Good stuff there. Kobe.
Yep.
How you doing over there?
I'm good.
Okay. There is one. I wanted to start in with the new segment, Into the Archive.
I'll do it for like $5.
Yes. These are the films that are available on webs, to purchase online only. People like Warner Brothers, Universal have their, and I wound up going crazy because prices were insane, and buying quite a few of them. And I thought I'll sprinkle them in throughout the year. And this week, this installment is from Universal, and it's a drama, comedy drama from 1985. If you remember, Mass Appeal with Jack Lemmon. Is a very popular priest who has to. He's forced to take under his wing a hot-blooded young priest, checking the sea, and try to weave him into a kinder, gentler aspect of the priesthood. Charles Durning is in the film as well, and Lemmon is really good in it. Mm-hmm. And I was 15 when it came out.
Wow.
Was a big Jack Lemmon fan. Was also. Of the Catholic persuasion way back when, and a lot of there's a line in that film I still use today, and he goes, "There's a reason why the collection plate goes after the sermon. It's like a Nielsen rating," and just really well made, well written. Really liked Lemmon in it. I mean, and this was the mid '80s, so he was just some of the work was pretty good, others not so much, and then of course they would get that resurgence in the early '90s with Grumpy Old Men, Glengarry Glenn Ross, the play, Shortcuts. And JFK. So, but it's always good to watch Jack Lemmon on screen.
Wow, kind of like what Christopher Plummer is doing now. I mean,
man, I'm really hoping he gets it.
I know we're starting
the preview next week today, but it just looks like everything's.
I am so excited about his nomination. If he doesn't get it, I'm driving to the West Coast. And,
are you really?
Yeah.
Wow. You got to do something. Shake your fist in anger.
Exactly.
and if Jonah Hill gets it, I'm throwing myself out
that
window.
You know that's not happening. You know that's not even a possibility.
You don't think so?
No.
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 Okay.
Do you really think who else is he up against? I don't think Hill's going to be competition in that at all.
That would be so depressing, and
that would really bum me out.
Yeah.
God, we should do film sociology on Monday next week.
we would have to have a hangover
Monday.
Oh, man.
But Plummer's had a great last few years between The Last Station, which was his first nomination, which I find odd, and then I know he got to do The Tempest at Stratford, it's the Shakespeare Festival, You know, and then do stuff like the girl with the dragon tattoo, and of course being beginners. And yeah, he showed up in Priest, and he's quite silly in that. But you know, everybody, all the acclaimed actors have to appear in one silly picture, I guess.
Well, you remember he did that low budget Heartland film, Man in the Chair.
He did do Man in the Chair. That was pretty decent.
Which I you know, the film was obviously low budget, but I thought he was really good in
it. Quite good in it. So, yeah, you can still have quality work at an age. Yep. So.
At an age.
Did you have any age in mind? Or
no. You know what? You know, maybe Kobe, there'll be sword buckling, too.
Sword buckling.
Swashbuckling, one of my favorite gaffes that I gave myself. Kobe, you have a segment? Do you have room for your segment? Did you watch anything?
Yeah, watched a bunch of stuff. See, well, I can't find the thing. Where's the... Oh,
and now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe Watching?
All right, sir, what'd you see?
Oh, my God.
You still got a pile of stuff for me.
I know. I've got a pile of stuff, but there's only just a couple that I haven't watched. A bunch of stuff that I've watched that I just haven't given it back.
Okay, so
yet.
What have you seen?
Oh, my God, what did we watch Tuesday? Saw The Help.
Black people being helped by white people, yes. You like it?
It was all right.
It was all right.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah, Joe response.
No, Joe Scheer, Joe Vuskovich, not Joe Scheer.
Oh, okay, not Joe Scheer.
That's
okay.
All right.
Okay.
Ever After, which I had seen.
She made you watch that. She picked that, didn't she?
Yeah.
I know.
Please tell me she made you watch it.
Drew Barrymore and Angelica Houston. Yep, fairy tale.
You Can't Handle This Woman? Is that what it is? With Paul Rudd and...
Michelle Pfeiffer,
yes.
My queen.
Yeah.
The reason why I want David E. Kelly dead? No.
Wow.
No, that was... I can't remember that, but that was a straight-to-DVD picture. And also the Atomic Girl, whose name none of
Ronan?
Us can pronounce. What?
Ronan?
Yes, her name is Ronan. She is a samurai without a master. She's just wandering around doing acting jobs. She's a disgraced samurai. That was actually kind of Hannah, really.
Yeah, well, kind of was.
That's kind of was.
It was kind of was. Yeah.
That was not was. Oh.
We want to thank Sun King for sponsoring today's show.
Hey, I'm heading there as soon as the show's done, okay? Because I hear they got two. I got two growlers to fill right now. So let's do it. Let's get some words to live by.
Oh.
You're not ready yet, are you?
Greatest people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Richard Probst, plug your website.
I am with theindependentcritic.com.
The whole thing?
The whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
did you have to change
don't
it?
Don't leave the off, because then you won't find it.
Okay.
It's theindependentcritic.com.
Mike Perry, what do we got going on around here? Besides Scary Newcomer tomorrow in Danville.
Yeah, I need to get a website, apparently.
I thought it was iHeartRashidaJones.com. And Rachel McAdams and Elizabeth Banks.
I'll just do a generic plug. We got lots of great special programming coming up the first part of March.
Yes, we do.
So check your local listings. Lots of great music. No matter what kind of music you like, we're going to have some of it, except, you know, like rap. But
any violent femmes?
Okay, if you like big band and Irish,
Captain
and,
Beefheart,
and Tony Bennett, then you'll like the programs coming.
Joe Bonamassa,
Joe Bonamassa. Yeah. Also, tomorrow night, if you're a fan of Doc Martin and British comedies, you will have a chance to support Doc Martin and your favorite British comedies on WFYI Public Television.
And Doc Martin needs your support.
Yes,
the old mad and crack draw illustrator.
No,
that's
Don Martin.
Okay. And tomorrow at 8 o'clock, the annual Blues Mardi Gras Party on WFYI 90.1. And I'll be emceeing two events tomorrow night. The Indie Folk Series with Fruitland Jackson at UUI on West 43rd Street at 7 o'clock. And then I'll be at Birdie's for the Indie Winter Blues Fest with Mike Milligan and Steam Shovel, Tyler Mack, Gordon Bonham, and Tad Robinson at Birdie's at 8 o'clock. Otherwise, go see a good movie. You deserve it. Gentlemen, thank you so much. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI, HD to the Point, and WFYI.org. Detroit, please win some more.
We gone!